This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. What did we do before Google? It's not just an amazing information tool. It's a noun. It's a verb. It's also a window into our collective persona. The information glut has become a fertile ground for lots of artists. Some poets are starting to mine the internet for their raw materials. Sean Cole is a reporter, but he's also a poet himself, and he told us about a new movement in poetry that finds its material on the web. It's called FLARF, and like a lot of what's on the web, it pushes at the boundaries of taste and decency. So heads up. You don't want your kids reciting FLARF around the house, trust me. So if they're listening with you right now, please use discretion.
FLARF was actually born on the internet back in 2000 when Gary Sullivan's grandfather was dying.
He was in the hospital and I talked to him. And one of the things he told me was that he had gotten a letter from the Poetry Society of America or whatever it is.
The International Society of Poets. They sponsor this contest saying they'll publish your poem if you win, but then everybody wins and you have to pay them for the anthology. Now, Gary's a for real poet. He publishes books, helps curate a reading series in New York where he lives.
Anyway, I was so angry and livid about this that I went online right away, found them,
and submitted the most horrible poem he could think up. He called it, here it is.
Yeah, it's true. Big birds make big do. I got fire inside my huppa chimp, TM. Gonna be aggressive, greasy. Oh yeah, God wanna do it, dude. Stay. Oh yeah.
It gets worse. Nonetheless, about a month later, Gary got an envelope in the mail with a phonied up broadside of his poem and a letter telling him how important it was.
And then I was just like, oh, this is so hilarious, so I had to take it around to my friends.
Other poets, like Drew Gardner.
And we just were rolling around on the floor laughing about it.
Drew lives in New York, too. At that point, he had been published in a bunch of magazines and genuine anthologies.
And I guess we realized there was something about the poem where something in it that we actually kind of liked. I mean, not that the poem was good, but there was something about it which was liberating, and there was an energy to it that we kind of liked.
You know, hooey and all this crazy stuff in it, you know.
Mitch Highfill was present at the creation as well. At first, they all started sending nutty poems to the site, and then they just started sending them to each other. And then more poets joined in, and more. And soon, they created their own private listserv, the FLARF list.
When we started, there were rules. There had to be some sort of ethnic slur in every FLARF poem. Typically, it was anti-Irish, just because Gary Sullivan is of Irish extraction.
But Gary says the poems weren't as bad as
That's mispronounced. It's pronounced
Sorry, the poems weren't as bad as In fact, he says they weren't bad at all. They were awful.
I mean, which I think is a very different idea than bad. Bad is just like bad writing. Awful is something else. You know, I mean, awful is... You know, oh, I can't believe that. You know, there's something that really should not be going on there. Basically, we're talking about what are people ignoring, really? And I think that this comes up in poetry all the time.
And that philosophy dovetailed with a technique that Drew had been using to write poems. Basically, he would Google random phrases and collage together poems using text from the search returns. Phrases like, chicks dig war.
War? War makes you a woman? Chicks dig war? Military service is the only true expression of war. Also, chicks dig it.
He says the first time he tried this was with the phrase,
I'm so happy, except what I did was multiple searches on how many O's you put in the so. So it started out with, I'm so happy with one O.
Right.
And I went all the way up to like 17 O's. And there were still kids coming back.
So people were literally going online and going, I'm so happy.
Yes.
And there's a certain poetry to the language people use on the web, Drew says. Maybe more raw human poetry than you'd find in poetry magazines. Actually, the very name FLARF came from a Google search. Gary stumbled across the words,
FLARFy mean purple, and it was in reference to marijuana. But we started using it as a verb, let's FLARF this text, let's FLARF this up, so it stuck.
You know, FLARFiness is kind of a quality of the universe that we stumbled upon. We didn't invent it.
I like to liken it to camp.
Calloused, knobby, aching, this is my grandmother's anus.
An embarrassment factor.
It's the absurdity, you know.
I spit on your fatal-looking, brain-smoking, watercressy robot.
Absurdity and lyricism.
Squid versus ass clown.
Ready for spanking?
Monty Python is FLARFy.
Damn, I'm going to be a freak!
FLARF goes back to the Yoga Sutras, probably.
We're saying, why can't you be ludicrously obscene in a poem? Why not?
Again, Mitch Highfill.
Why does a poem have to be, you know, nice? It doesn't have to be nice. Poetry is supposed to change you. It's supposed to, any art, it's supposed to change your life. You don't read a poem to have something nice happen. Or if you do, I don't think you're really anywhere. That's nowhere. You read a poem to be affected, to be shook.
At this point, there are about 20 writers on the FLARF list, swapping poems every day. And not just swapping, but riffing off of each other's poems, trying to outdo each other. It's like a poetry project runway. I asked Drew for an example.
I've been a diabetic since I was 11 years old, so I wrote a poem called Annoying Diabetic Advice, riffing off the sort of social things you deal with diabetes. But Sharon Mesmer read it and came up with a much better, wilder poem, actually, called
Annoying Diabetic Bitch. You annoying diabetic bitch. You anorexic, bulimic, diabetic bitch. You dumb, annoying...
Sharon Mesmer read this poem at the 2006 FLARF Festival. Yes, FLARF Festival. If it isn't a movement at this point, it's got all the hallmarks of one. Annoying Diabetic Bitch is the title poem of one of Sharon's books. And there are at least 9 other books of FLARF on the market now. The FLARFer who led that charge was Casey Mohammed, with a collection called Deerhead Nation.
Many pledge allegiance to the blood god. I pledge allegiance to the freaky horse who watches over me as I sleep.
Again, Gary Sullivan.
So Casey's book came out, and I think we were all kind of shocked that it, A, came out, and B, people seemed to be reading it. And
enjoying it.
And enjoying it, at least for a little while, till a lot of people started hating our guts. But at first, they liked it.
There's been a lot of uproar about FLARF, mainly from other poets, and mainly, wouldn't you know it, on the internet. Some have found the poems genuinely offensive, not just jokey offensive. Others say appropriating people's chat room posts is unethical, or at least mean. The first time I learned of any controversy was when Mitch gave this reading years ago at MIT, the kind of event where the readers and the audience actually talk to each other.
Douglas, put your fingers in your ears. This is a FLARF poem. Thank you. Jellyfish dreams. That's the idea, Doug. Pop Rev Jellyfish, label number Lucky 0003.
Do you hate all FLARF poems categorically?
Well, that's what's interesting about FLARF. It's terrible.
Douglas is Douglas Rothschild, a poet in Albany, New York. He's known and argued with the FLARFers for years. The Google idea is nothing new, he says, and in the end, the poems, at best, look like practice.
It's a marketing label, finally. Comes down to it. They're happy everybody's mad at them. Because if people weren't mad at them, then they wouldn't exist.
But they'd still be poets. I mean, they'd still be publishing, being paid attention to. FLARF or no FLARF.
There would not be a radio show about them.
Touché. But to Gary, all of the backlash has been misplaced. And for a very specific reason.
Because some people who there have been backlash with are not that different than what we're doing, frankly. And I'm kind of surprised by it, but...
Their work isn't that different.
Their work is not that different. And maybe their ideology is not that different. It's just the very fact that you have a group of people, I think, is going to upset a certain amount of people for whatever reason. And I think that's just something deeply ingrained in American culture and with respect to the arts.
And maybe decades from now, FLARF will be forgotten. And maybe it won't. But for now, it weirdly seems to be getting more and more legitimized. Gary and a few other FLARFers are putting together their own anthology. And they've got a publisher. It's supposed to come out this year or next.
You f***ed Jimmy.
Chicks dig war.
Your vagina scares me.
For Studio 360.
Ew, ew, ew.
I'm Sean Cole.
This is a serious poem, everybody.
You can read some of those FLARF poems at studio360.org. A version of this story first appeared on Poetry Off the Shelf, the Poetry Foundation podcast.